I was wondering, Sammy said tentatively as they paused between courses at La Venezia, if you should think of getting a new photograph of yourself? Something just a tiny bit more up to the minute, perhaps? Ambrose's first impulse was to dismiss the idea. After all, as he reminded Sammy, it had a perfectly decent set of prints taken not so long ago, and they'd been bloody expensive, and it wasn't as if his current level of income allowed him to run to unnecessary extravagance. And surely the whole purpose of an agent was to increase a client's income, rather than spend it for him. Sammy looked chastened, as well he might. Back at home that afternoon, Ambrose dug the file of photographs out of the bureau just to reassure himself. And yes, they were scarcely 8 years old, taken in February 1932, not long after the highly successful kinematic release of Inspector Charnforth and the Bitter Lemons Mystery. And really, they were more than adequate. Full face, chin on hand, a fine, frank gaze at the camera, a curtain draped artfully across the wall behind, a briar pipe and a volume of verse resting on a table in front. They spoke of depth and maturity, of vigour, and yet also of a certain masculine sensitivity. Their invisible caption, unmistakably, was "Leading Man." He put the portfolio away again and gave no further thought to the matter until a fortnight later in Sammy's office, where he was being kept waiting.
"He'll be in any minute now, Mr. Hilliard," the typist kept saying brightly. "He knows you're expected, only he's had to take his doggy to the vet, the poor little thing's at half a tin of boot polish, and it's been ever so ill."
And since the chaos of paper on Sammy's desk meant that it was impossible to discern which script it was that Ambrose was meant to be collecting, he was forced to sit and stew. The 1940 edition of Spotlight was on the office shelf, and he amused himself for a while by looking through the character actors section. Page after page of uglies, fatties, the once beautiful and the never handsome, each of them no doubt nurturing the hope that a browsing director, tiring of chiselled good looks, might one day choose a more interesting face for his next romantic lead. Poor deluded saps. He turned the page on the final gargoyle and pointedly consulted his watch.
"Any minute now, Mr. Hilliard," said the typist.
It occurred to Ambrose that he ought to check his own entry in the volume, and reopening it at the beginning, he started to leaf through leading actors, at first briskly, and then with a growing sense of unease. When he at last reached his own photograph, he stared at it for a while. It seemed this time somehow less than satisfactory. He glanced again at the portraits of his rivals, and it was like picking through a police file marked "Dangerous Cases." All was mood, spleen, sullenness, seething introspection. Here slouched Marius Goring, wreathed in shadow. Here Jack Hawkins, peering shiftily from beneath the brim of his hat. Glowering presence succeeded glowering presence. No one stood upright. No one gazed directly at camera. No one smiled. It was clear that the fine, frank gaze had had its hour. Nowadays it was de rigueur to look as if one were just about to cosh an old lady.
"I've been thinking about your suggestion of the other day," he said to Sammy when his agent at last arrived at the office. "It's all a matter of style, of course. There are fashions in photography as in everything else, and one simply has to accept the fact. We are in a new and brutal age."
Sammy nodded, a touch uncertainly.
"So you'll have another picture taken?"
"If I must," said Ambrose.
The photographer was a blue-chinned Hungarian refugee called Erno. He was trying to establish himself in London, Sammy said, and was therefore acceptably cheap. On the debit side, his English was rudimentary.
"Brooding,"
said Ambrose, who had taken the precaution of bringing the copy of Spotlight with him to the room just above a hat shop in D'Arblay Street.
"Darkly atmospheric."
He jabbed a finger at the picture of Leslie Howard. Another Hungarian, come to think of it. Christ, they were everywhere. It showed the actor gazing dyspeptically off to one side, the dim lighting heightening the contours of his face.
"Like him," said Ambrose, enunciating clearly.
Erno frowned and looked from Ambrose to the picture of Leslie Howard, and then back again.
"Like him," he repeated doubtfully.
"Give me strength," thought Ambrose. "Yes," he said, trying to keep the exasperation out of his voice. "I want you to make me look exactly like him."
Erno stared at the photograph for almost a full minute and then went away to a corner of the room and rummaged in a bag. He came back after some time with a piece of what looked like fine cheesecloth.
"Moment, please," he said,
and began with painful slowness to fasten the material over the camera lens.
"Will you be very much longer?" asked Ambrose. "Only I have an awfully busy day ahead of me."